Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul writes, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." It's my intention over the next little while to try and talk to you about the body. It's an image that's used regularly to depict the church. Probably most familiar to us is 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about the various body parts and the diversity of them. And he says, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." He paints a similar picture in Romans 12 and verses 4 to 5. It says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Colossians 1, when he's talking of the supremacy of the Son, verse 17, he says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." Ephesians 1, 22, "God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." And Colossians 3, 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace." It's not an exhaustive list of all of the times the church is referred to as the body. But regularly and repeatedly, you'll come across this reality. And so I want to try and say some stuff to you over the next couple of weeks about what it says and what I think that means for us, because we're the body. So I'm going to try and do that. But today I very especially wanted to talk to you about the growth of the body, because I think there's the potential that in the pursuit of our own spiritual growth, we neglect our responsibility to others. I have no question in my mind this morning that most of you would tell me you wanted to grow in God. I've got no doubt that most of you would like to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But quite often, it's all about us. It's all about us growing, how we feel we're doing. And actually, we belong to a body, and the body's meant to reach maturity together. We're meant to grow in unity. And so Paul writes in Ephesians 4 that the body of Christ is to be built until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We're meant to grow in every respect to become the body of him who is the head, and that's Christ. And so that's not just about me anymore. That's actually about you as well. You're the body. How you're doing matters. And I might have a part to play in that. Many of us will be very familiar with Matthew 28, 18, where the Great Commission is given. All authority has been given, all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even till the end of the age. Jesus speaking to his disciples, people who've been on a personal journey with him. And his instructions not, you keep walking with me, guys, and everything will be fine. It's go and make disciples. And sometimes that gets conveyed in such a way as we just need to get people saved. But the instructions teach them to obey everything I commanded you. Teach them to obey everything I commanded you. And actually, the responsibility of any disciple is to make disciples. We have a responsibility to each other for growth. Romans 15:1 says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbor for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insult of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are strong ought to bear with the failings of those who are weak. Some of your versions will say you've got an obligation to it. And not just to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. That's what Romans 15 says. I've got a responsibility to other people in this. This is not just me and Jesus walking out our journey. We're not skipping off merrily into the sunset and you do whatever you do. I belong to a body. And as the body, I have a responsibility for its growth. So those of us who are stronger than others are meant to help those who are weak. And I suppose we're at a particular season in time where isolation is a very common word in our vocabulary. We've had lockdowns. We found ourselves sitting at home, watching online. Our gatherings still have some levels of restriction in them. We're not necessarily as free as we might like to be. Some of you I know would just love to run around hugging people. You don't feel quite able to do that. But in that, I don't want us to lose sight of something. I hope you're doing great this morning. I hope your walk with Jesus is going brilliantly well. But what about the rest of the body? So Paul writes in Ephesians 4, it says, Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. To equip the saints for work of ministry. To equip God's people for works of service. Let me say this just as a note. I'm not here to build a platform for myself. I'm not here for you to be amazed at my skill in preaching. I'm not here for you to be astounded at my brilliance. My job's to serve you and your ministry. That's my job, to serve you and your ministry. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for works of ministry. We live in a culture where people get on a platform and we want to make celebrities out of them. We want to celebrate how wonderful they are. But my job is to try and help you do what God's called you to do. That's my job. It's to try and equip you for what God's got for you. But what's the purpose of your works of service? According to Ephesians 4. Your works of service. Paul doesn't write so that you might have a really fulfilling life, so that you might think you're doing excellently. It's not for your happiness. It's so that the body may be built up. It's what he says. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So that the body of Christ may be built up. Let me just say this thing. Often we make ministry about fulfillment. The truth is, quite often it's about perseverance. It's about work. There's work in this. Repeatedly, Scripture addresses the issue of weariness to people who are pursuing the purposes of God. So in Galatians 6, we're told, don't grow weary in doing good. Because at the proper time, you'll reap a reward if you don't give up. But actually, there's going to be times where there doesn't seem to be necessarily a reward in the good that you're doing. There's going to be some times where you're working and it's not apparent that there's obvious good in coming from it. Don't give up is the encouragement of Scripture, because good will come from it if you just keep going. Hebrews 12 invites. And sometimes our rhetoric around serving God is about finding our place where we feel happiest and most fulfilled. And I want to help you do that. But the reality is some stuff still needs to get done. There's some works of service that still need to happen. And sometimes you're not going to be thoroughly happy about the thing that you actually believe God's called you to. Sometimes you're going to have to persevere through some stuff to keep doing the thing that God's asked you to do. Sometimes you're going to have to keep fighting for it when you'd rather give up. And we're not building aimlessly. The goal is that we would all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. I am confident this morning. Some of you possess knowledge about the Son of God that I do not have. Just by virtue of your experience. I'm confident We've got knowledge to share with each other. Because we haven't all walked the same journey. And here's my opinion. Most of us have got a bias towards certain characteristics of God that we prefer and we focus our attention on. The stuff that resonates with us most, right, isn't all the same. And I need your voice in that to balance out my bias. I need to hear what God's saying to you to prevent me from pursuing a line of thinking that leads me into danger because I don't take into account the fullness of him, but just certain aspects that I'm sort of prefer. Philippians 2 and verse 1 says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to their own interests, but also to the interests of others. So really practically, how are you going to know what the interests of other people are if you never talk to them? If you never get to know them, if you don't develop relationships with them, how do you ever find out what their interests are? How do you ever look out for their understanding of each other? Just a question. And my purpose this morning is just to remind you, this isn't all about you. We gather together on Sundays. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage each other all the more as we see the day approaching. Can I say to you very honestly, but not expecting it to be news, I'm not up there bashing a keyboard because I think I'm a brilliant worship leader. There are other people who do it much better. And if this is just about you and your worship, I'm going to advise you, get yourself on YouTube and find something that you like. And you can worship away to that by yourself. Right? There are people who sell out stadiums with their skill. That will never be me. You've heard me. You're aware of my ability. I'm not in denial about this fact. That won't be me. But we sing to encourage one another. Here's how Ephesians 5 puts it. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking to one another. My worship this morning was not all about me and Jesus. I was speaking to you. with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I was making melody to him and giving praise to him, but I was speaking to you as well. The songs that we sang were encouraging one another with them. I understand this morning, if you were to choose your own worship list for this morning, we would have as many different sets as there are people in the room. We don't all have the same taste. We don't all like the same things. I'm not unclear about that. And we don't sing because I'm really brilliant at it. We sing to encourage one another, to bless each other. While we're blessing God, we're blessing each other. Let me pick on somebody who's not here for a moment. All of you are aware of the challenge Louise is walking through right now. There is nothing that challenges me more than to watch her worship. There's nothing that teaches me more than watching her worship. I come in sometimes and I don't feel like it. Week's been pretty tough. And I watch somebody walk through the doors, declare the goodness of God while walking through a challenging season. Actually, I need to shut up some things in my head and get on with praising him because he's been good to me. And we sing to encourage each other for the benefit of one another. We're not here gathered just for ourselves. So I'm sorry if you didn't love what we sang this morning, but it wasn't just for you. And I hope it encouraged you in the room. I hope you encouraged each other with it. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." That's why we sing. Because it's about each other when we gather. It's not just about me. And I understand this morning, I am not the best speaker you will ever hear. And if you were looking for great preaching, you could find it elsewhere. This is not a pity party for me, don't misunderstand. I'm completely secure in the fact God's called me to something. But I'm not going to be the best orator you ever hear. If you're looking for great preaching, you can find it elsewhere. And I understand that I'm not going to share revelation with you every week that leaves you amazed at my skill or theological knowledge. Why do we share the word of God? To spur one another on towards love and good deeds. To encourage each other as we see the day approaching. It might not be for you. You might walk away and think, I got nothing from what he said this morning. Sorry. But is it for the body? Is it for the body? And if what you've heard, you can actually encourage others with. If you've already know it, if you've walked it, if you've lived it, if it's your experience and you think you've got it down, how are you spurring others on in that? How are you engaging with other people around that? See, the purpose of our gathering together is about each other. I don't ever want you to miss that. And let me say something, not necessarily to those of you in the room, because you're in the room, but some of you who might be watching online who... Hiya. Don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. the word habit's really strong in that for me. I'm going to suggest to you we've been through a season of time where some behavior has just become habitual. We're used to staying at home now, right? We're used to doing some things differently. Watching church online doesn't seem that weird anymore. Be careful you don't get stuck in habits that weren't good for you, that weren't the best. COVID has allowed us to break some habits and to develop some new ones. And I understand there's some people who can't be with us for very legitimate reason. There's challenges for them coming out, whatever. That's why we're still doing online stuff. But some of us just got into a habit, right? And maybe we just need to make a decision that we're changing that. Because it's not just about us. It's about the body. And so we gather together to spur one another on towards love and good deeds and to encourage each other as we see the day approaching. That involves engagement with each other. This is not the Josh show. Right? You haven't come to see me. You've come to meet with each other. To encourage each other. To bless each other. For the benefit of the body. And we'll come to the different ministries and various things in the coming weeks. At least that's my intention. But I wanted to say this quite strongly this morning. Because we find ourselves at times exclusively worried about our personal growth. How we're doing. And you can do fine in isolation. But you can't build the body there. You can worship. You can hear the word. You can spend time with Jesus by yourself. And I'm confident you will find stuff that's more enjoyable than listening to me slap a keyboard or butcher a sermon. But you can't build the body in isolation. And we have a responsibility to each other for growth so that we all reach maturity. So that we grow in unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Wouldn't it be incredible to together be pursuing the attainment of the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? The attainment of the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's not an insignificant thing, is it? I need you to get there. I don't make any bones about that. We need each other to get there. And it's God's intention that the body grows. But it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I'm not talking exclusively about numerical growth. I want to see that here. I've got no issue saying that. But I want you to grow as well. And I don't want us to be a body with a massive hand and baby feet. Where, you know, that knee's quite impressive, but everything else looks malnourished. And the reality is that I'm going to suggest all we're ever doing is passing on what we received. I spoke to you probably a good while ago now, about a statement in 1 Corinthians 4. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you didn't? The reality is, everything I've got to offer others, I received, either from him or from others. All of the information I possess, I received. If it wasn't divine revelation, which most often it wasn't, let me be clear about that, it was from others' input in my life. What am I doing with that? Passing it on. Encouraging others with it. Not standing and going, well, I'm just the best finger you've ever seen. It's a shame about the rest of them, isn't it? And there's a time we can be frustrated with others in the body. There's a time we can be frustrated by what appears to be an absence of growth. There's times where we can be frustrated by what appears to be significant challenge on others' parts and their failure. How can you help them grow? We're not meant to grow as a random selection of disjointed parts. We're meant to grow as a body. And that involves relationships with one another. It involves a cultivation of those. It involves us getting back into the habit of some things. It involves us maybe starting to do some things again that we've left for some time. But I'm not meant to be in a place where my relationship with God is all about me. Where it's all about how I'm doing. Where I come to church when I feel like I need it. I come to church when I feel like I need it and when I feel like I don't. Because when I don't, I'll be encouraged. And when I feel like I'm here when it's good and when it's bad, because in the good times I can encourage others, and in the bad times someone else will encourage me. I'm here when it's going great and when it's going awfully, because when it's not brilliant, I need you around me. I need your I need you to minister to me sometimes. And when it's when it's brilliant, I might feel like I've got something to offer to others. So we're going to look at the body for a little while. I'm going to try and say some stuff about it. And I hope it helps us grow, because that's my intention. But I'm going to ask for your help to help us grow. I'm going to say to you that it's the purpose of God that you give what you have to help the body grow. That you help the body grow. I hope that's a blessing to you, or a challenge, or something.